I want to share with you this morning about the peace of God, and I think Pastor Basil pretty much preached half the message already. So I could just flip through to page 3 right now. I'm just kidding with you. But I see your. How many have ever, remember the first time you flew on a plane? Can I see your hand? I mean, man, I'll tell you what, it wasn't a direct flight. I had a connecting flight, and I was a young guy. I was really, really young, and a young teenager, and I was nervous. I was nervous because I didn't know. I hadn't really been to an airport before, and flying from one location to another and get off the plane, but how are they going to get my bags there, and all the details that can consume us. And I'm thinking, I hope they have some good food on this plane. So here we are, is that many times in life we can be going from one destination to another and on this journey called life, and we can become so consumed with what's going to happen in the middle. What's going to happen when I make my connecting flight or hook up to my next part of the journey? And many times, I don't know if you were like me, but that first time I flew, I was so anxious and so fearful on the inside. I was like, how am I going to be in the right plane? I have this number on a ticket that tells me that's where I'm going, but I have to trust what the ticket says in order to get to the destination. I didn't want to trust the ticket. I didn't know the pilot. I didn't know the people that were on the stewardesses. I didn't know the guy at the concession stand where I bought some water from. I didn't know any of these people. I just had a ticket with a destination that had a number on it for my connecting flight. And it brought me anxiety. Ever been there? From there, I went to go work for the airline for a short period of time. I worked for America West. It doesn't exist anymore, and there might be a reason for that. Might not be. I don't know. But either way, I worked for America West, and I worked in the baggage handling and stuff, and I got really, really uptight one day because it wasn't just like, you know, loading luggage. I didn't break anyone's luggage or break anything fragile, you know, on the ramp, and you're loading it in. I had to climb in the middle of a plane, like the underbelly, and I'm like, wow, I want out. But then from there, one day, they made me. They didn't give me the option. I had to be on the push tug one day. The push tug is that little thing that backs the plane up, that big little, and it has the pole, and oh, Lord, like you're thinking, this is a 737, there's about 200 plus people and on this plane, and I'm responsible to back it up. So I begin to, and you have to be really careful. If you ever been on that plane jerks, it's because the push tug guy doesn't know what he's doing. So I'm on the push tug, and I'm slowly backing off, and all of a sudden, I see this plane coming from the backside. And I have my headphones on, like their radio in the with the tower. And they didn't tell me to watch out for the plane. But I'm looking at the plane, and I'm like, I don't like how close. It was too close for comfort, that plane. So all of a sudden, I had to make an adjustment, and I stopped the plane. Because if I didn't, we would have hit the other plane. I was a little nervous. You could say that at the least. I was a little anxious. I was a little upset. I was uncertain of what could happen. But if I didn't follow the leading on the inside, then something bad could have happened. At the end of the day, the radio tower was like, hey, man, that was a good call. We didn't see that. We were changing shifts, and we didn't see it. I want to talk to you the next few moments together about peace. About peace. I think peace is one of the greatest longings in the human heart. Would you agree? Everyone wants peace. We want peace in our lives, in our homes, in our land. If you watch any beauty pageant contestant, at the end of all the stuff that they say, and I want world peace. I don't know. But we define peacefully. We want peace in our nation. We want something different to us all. We want peace in our community here locally. We want peace in our nation. We want peace at the borders right now. Come on, somebody. And in our world. We want peace in our homes and in our families, especially around dinner time when you're preparing that meal for the toughest critics in your home. All the parents are like, yeah, say it. Or maybe some want peace and they're scheduled to calm down as they're running from appointment to appointment, being busy with your life. Others, maybe peace for you is like, man, I'm just going to sit on a white sandy beach under a cabana. Just going to listen to the waves crash in, someone play my music, whatever your relaxing music is, And you're just going to sit there, and you're going to listen. Now, I need you to come back from vacation. I need you all to come back with me now. We're going to continue in the message today. You can go on vacation after church. But for others, you might be worrying about your young children. Others, you might be worrying about your older children, your adult children, or your grandchildren. You might have a tendency to worry and to fret. I think we all do, if we're going to be honest. Some people find peace in trying to control the situation, trying to control the outcome. And I have some people very dear to me that are like that. Because growing up in the home that I did, my dad had a heart attack, and we had to make some adjustments when dad had a heart attack and dad couldn't work anymore. So we had to make the decisions, and I had to work full time since I was 10 years old. So there's things that we had to do. Some people find peace in trying to control the final outcome of situations. Don't look to your left or to your right, just keep looking forward. No, not me. I won't call anybody out. But planning every detail, planning the future, planning A, B, C, and D, and what if this doesn't work? And I've been there. I might be that guy. Just in case. We may think of peace both on a small scale or maybe even in larger scale measures, but for our own personal relationships, to our friendships, to harmony in our homes, and harmony in our families and in our nation and on the world stage, we want peace. We all need peace, and we long for peace. That's a cry of the human heart. But we all can have a different definition. So in the next few moments together, what is peace? What is true peace? And I can sit here and I can justify and I can gain all the knowledge in the world to try to attain a certain result that I'm okay with. That's not true Bible peace. That's just me being okay with the odds. True Bible peace is the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and He leads us and guides us. So the Bible shares about peace. Peace is not merely the absence of conflict. The Hebrew word peace is shalom, and it can mean totality or completeness, success, fulfillment, wholeness, harmony, security, and well-being. That's what I want. How about you? I want that in my life. I want to walk in that and experience that regardless of what's going on around me. You can walk in the peace of God despite conflicts or confusion or challenges or times of change or whatever might be going on in your life. There's a lack of the peace of God in homes. There's a lack of peace in the world, in marriages and families and employment situations. We find political unrest and wars and rumors of wars, and which seem to almost pick up daily. Would you agree? But there's a day coming when all those things will cease. Wars and rumors of wars will cease. But until then, I want to encourage you with this. Don't allow what's around you to get inside of you. Don't allow what's around you to get inside your heart and rob you of your peace and your sleep. Some of us are giggling and have a smile on our face because there's been situations at night that have kept us up. I remember as a young guy growing up, when I first got my license, my mom and my dad, they would stay up until I got home. There were a couple of times where it was a little bit too late for mom and dad, and they were on the couch. We had this pink couch overlooking this window, and they, man, I tell you what, I could feel the burn of the stair. We had curtains, we had drapes, we had blinds. It could be wintertime. That stare, that glare could melt the snow on the ground after that. I tell you right now. But I tell you, I made sure I was home on time after that. But what's keeping you up at night? The greatest value of the presence of God, or the greatest value of God's peace, isn't when everything's in place in your life. Because there's going to be times and seasons where things might not be in place, but you're in the right place. You're in the perfect will of God. And that's the best place you can be. When circumstances are high, when pressures can be felt, when the storm is raging around you, peace will cause you to be untroubled and undisturbed right in the midst of it all. Perfect peace. We can sleep good at night, even though there are issues, there are conflict, there are decisions that need to be made, or the total opposite of peace all around us. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. It'll be on the screen if you don't have a Bible. If you want, you can pull out your device. It says, I will lie down and fall asleep in peace because you alone, Lord, let me live in safety. It's a promise from God that I love, and I like different translations, and we can sleep good at night regardless of what's going on around us, what we're facing, because it's a promise from God. Another scripture here is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. The second point is this: fix those thoughts. We have to fix our thoughts. Isaiah 26, 3. You will keep in perfect peace some who trust in you. No. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. What are your thoughts fixed on? Is it the economy? Is it the person in the White House? Is it a political party? Is it a certain dollar amount in your bank account? What are your thoughts fixed on? Is it going to your students going to college? Is it retirement? Is it you fill in the blank? What are your thoughts fixed on? What we continue, the flip side of that, affects our peace greatly. Now that doesn't mean, here's the flip side of that, that doesn't mean that we don't think about things or work on the issues or make decisions. But we have to be aware of what thoughts take up residence and take up space in our minds because they affect our hearts. We have to think about what we're thinking about. So what are you dwelling on? What is living? What thoughts are living on the inside of you? Let's think about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is out of the Amplified Classic. I don't normally preach from the Amplified a whole lot, but today I found myself turning up the volume with the Amplified, so let's read this scripture together. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemingly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh on and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. Wow, I love that. What is your mind fixed on today? It takes reliance and trust in the Lord to walk in peace. The job of the devil is he robs us. The Bible says that he steals, he kills, and he destroys. Ultimately, he's after your destiny, but it starts with the Word of God, the hope that's been planted in your heart. He's trying to steal it from you so you'll doubt, and you won't have hope, you won't have faith, and you'll live in a place of constant fear because fear is the devil's playground. I've lived in that place before. Many of you know I had a heart attack at 33, many years ago now. But I lived in fear because the doctor was saying that you're going to die and you can die any moment. And that's the fear that he put in me, which was the furthest thing from the truth. So I had to make some adjustments. And I had to, what am I going to put my faith and my belief, the trust and my confidence in? I agree with doctors. I love doctors. And I believe that it's not either or, it's both and. But I had to be led by what the Spirit of God was telling me, not just by what the doctor was saying. Because there's many doctors. There's many cardiologists. The Lord led me to the right cardiologist. I was afraid. There's a point where I was actually afraid and I had no reason to be. I was afraid that I was going to die at night and not wake up the next morning to see my kids. At that time, Lily wasn't born. Joey and Mikey were about 4 or 5 years old. I lived in that place. But oh, after lie after lie after lie, I went from bed to bed. I think I shared this with you last time with Joey and Mikey, praying over them, declaring over their future. But there came a moment where I dozed off. But the next morning when I woke up, let me just tell you something. I identified the voice and the lies of the enemy. And I will not be plagued by that again, ever. I want to encourage you to do the same, is that there's going to be situations where the devil always shows his hand. He always reveals himself. And that if he's speaking lies to you, maybe even write it down. Well, this is going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, make note of what that impression was on the inside and how that was a dwelling place for you. And then, no, I take authority over that thought in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be bound by that. No, that's not going to happen. And speak with the Word of God. Declare the promises of God in your life. I will lay down at night and I will have sweet sleep. And I'm not going to be concerned or worry about this anymore. Amen? When I think of a thought, sometimes, you know, it can breed another thought. How about you? And then from there, it's like it's 10 more thoughts. And then from there, before you know it, after one thought, within about 5 minutes, we're thinking 200 thoughts about this what-if scenario that could happen, might happen. And many times that can cause us to be in a not-so-good place. It can cause us to shut down and not be able to make a decision. I've been there before. Just ask my wife. Stomach's all upset, and get ulcers that way, and get messed up, and it can really affect you. That's not God's perfect will for us. He says, cast your care onto Him because He cares for us. So the weight of the world, the situations, the financial situation, wherever we're at today did not catch God off guard. And He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Every day is a day closer, right? And He's with us more and more every day. I love what the Bible says. So the good news is that this verse tells us how to think. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us how to think, and it tells us to fix our minds on something. It's God's strategy for a peaceful mind and heart, and that's a place that you can live from regardless of the chaos that might be going on around you or trying to attack you, trying to get inside you, even if it's in your family, even if it's in your marriage, if it's in your student, even if it's in your adult children, whatever it might be. You don't have to live under that chaos, under that confusion. You can speak the word of God and you make a decision. I'm going to agree with this fearful thought, or I'm going to press in and pursue God. And God, I invite you into my situation and I'm going to trust you. It's an old song we used to sing in church, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I trust in Jesus. I lean on Him even though I can't figure anything out. I just take the next right step. I don't know the whole picture, but I have lots of questions and lots of things. But I'm just going to take the next right step because that's where God has led me. And I think that's what we're responsible for, is that when it comes to whatever business decisions, whatever decisions we need to make in our home and in our families and whatever is concerning you, they all affect the heart. I want to encourage you, just take the next right step. Trust in Jesus. He'll never leave you or forsake you. One thing I do want to share, when we do make decisions, our thoughts can be centered on the perfect will of God. In your word, that's a decision that we make, that we agree with God. That God, I'm in your word, I'm not going to pay attention to this, but I am believing for your perfect will, so lead me to it, lead me in it, lead me through it. Have your way in me. So what that means is that when we're faced with situations, we don't react, we respond. See, there's a difference. I come from an Italian culture. Some cultures can be a little more emotional than other cultures. So I don't react, I respond. I've had to train myself. Italians, you know, can be louder, and maybe different other cultures can be as well. Rachel comes from like an Irish background and French background. Irish people, they can be loud too. French people, they can cook. Italians can too. Everyone can cook. I'm just being funny. But whatever the background, whatever the culture is, your culture, where you came from, doesn't have to determine your future. Just because my parents or your ancestors or your family, your culture was a certain way, doesn't mean that from this moment forward, it has to continue to be that way. You know, sometimes there are learned behaviors, learned patterns, and I saw some people close to me growing up that would worry about lots of different things. I have tried to purpose in my heart not to worry about things. Worry killed my dad. Worry, that's why, one of the reasons, because of eating, because of different things, but worry was one of the main reasons that my dad went home to be with the Lord. Not coming against him, but that was just something that he even shared that at the end of his life. God showed that to him. He was very well aware of that. So those are his words, not mine. So don't react, respond. Respond with the word of God. Respond in love. Going to God first needs to be our first response and not our last resort. Our first response, not our last resort. It means that when life comes at us, my God first. God, what are you saying? All the other people around me are saying this. My finances are saying this. What do you say, Lord? You're the most important person in the room, and I want to follow you. The third point today is catch those thoughts. Catch those thoughts. In the church that I grew up in, I heard a sermon. It was, you got to take those thoughts captive. And as 10, 11, 12 years old, I did. And I didn't know what that meant at first, but then I learned in a hurry that, no, I'd take that thought captive in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be plagued by that worry or doubt anymore, or that self-esteem issue, or that insecurity, whatever that was. I take authority over that, and sometimes the only thing I could do to fight those thoughts was speak the name of Jesus. When I was dealing with the heart issue, oh, you're going to die, or this is going to happen. Oh, no, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I kept saying, and there's times at night where I just keep speaking the name of Jesus because I can't speak something and be listening to the voice and the lies of the enemy. So it changes my mindset. It changes my focus. Even at 3 a.m. when the devil will try to wake us up at times with different things, or am I the only one? In Jesus' name, no, it's not going to be like that. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. And that, and then all of a sudden that starts affecting your heart and you have this anxiety. For those that deal with anxiety and those sorts of issues, that'll spring up. You speak the name of Jesus to that. In the name of Jesus, you calm down. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you're working in my heart, in my mind, in my home, in my marriage, in this situation. That song we sing, I Speak Jesus, that is a powerful song. So there's times where there's nothing else that I could say. Jesus. Oh, what about my home? What about my... Jesus. What about Jesus? What about my granddaughter, my grandson, my family that might be exposed to this, this, or this, or on drugs? Jesus. Jesus, because he's the way. I don't know the way. I don't know the answer or the solutions, but I know him, and he is the answer. He is the solution. So catch those thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And we're destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The next scripture here in John chapter 14, Jesus is preparing the disciples because his time is close. It's close for Jesus to be arrested and beaten and crucified and sentenced to death on the cross. But on the third day, we know that he rose again. So John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, out of the New Living Translation, Jesus speaking to the disciples, just explaining that, hey, I'm leaving, but someone else is coming. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because he's not looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. And later, he will be in you. Verse 18, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise. Jesus was leaving, but the Holy Spirit was coming. Jesus was preparing the disciples for a big change. They would not be left alone in the change, though. The Holy Spirit was coming to live in them, which was something new that they hadn't experienced. John chapter 16, verse 7. However, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, expedient, it's advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what keeps you up at night or keeps you up during the day if you work at night. But here's what I do know is that the Holy Spirit, he's an advocate. He's fighting for you. He's about the cause of Christ on behalf of you. He's the comforter. Oh, let me just tell you about the comfort. There's been times in my life where I needed a comfort. I needed not just a snuggy, cool place with a comforter on. No, but I needed the comfort of the Holy Spirit to wrap his arms around me and say, son, it's going to be okay. And that's what he did. That's what he does. And that's what he will always do. He's a comforter. But then there's times where I just need help. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need you now more than ever before in my life. And then he's the intercessor. Oh my goodness, when you don't know how to pray, he prays the perfect prayers on your behalf. And that's why, you know, next week is Pentecost Sunday. That's when the Spirit of God was poured out on the earth to live inside us. And believers in the upper room, under the obedience of Jesus, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues. Tongues is the Holy Spirit hooking up with us, praying perfectly through us and with us when we don't know what to say, when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know. And I thank God for that ability to do that. If you're not Spirit-filled, I want to encourage you. Read Acts chapter 2. Ask questions. Come up for prayer and let's be filled. He's the helper. He's the intercessor. He's the strengthener. There's times where I need strength in my life. Wow. Strength in my life, and he's the standby. He's always there, ready to help with the invitation. He's as close as the mention of his name. John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Not fact. Truth supersedes fact. There's a lot of facts out there. The facts of life. A lot of facts that we're presented with today on different platforms of media and social media. That's fine, but the truth, not the Word of God, will last forever. Whether cancel culture tries to cancel it out or not, they are not taking this next generation. We are fighting for this generation. But let me just tell you right now, the truth sets us free. It's the truth that breaks the chains of worry and doubt and fear in my life. It's the truth that tears down the strongholds of depression and oppression in our lives. We shall know the truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is that he shows us things to come. But in order for him to show us things to come, we have to have a revelation with him, have a relationship with him. And out of that relationship, he gives us revelation, and he gives us knowledge, he gives us understanding. He reveals the future, reveals his plan to us. But it's in that place of prayer, in that place of devotion in the morning, when you set that time aside, morning, noon, or night, whenever you do your devotions and have your quiet time with the Lord, that's when he will reveal things to you. As you pray, he will show you things to come. That's his desire, is to show you things to come. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'll just put mine up. There are things in my life concerning the future, concerning 5 years from now, concerning my kids, that I would like answers to right now. But I'm trusting him that when, you know, different decisions need to be made in my family, that he will show me things to come when I need to know. And we'll just walk it out. My job is to hear from heaven and then walk it out. As a pastor, as a leader, as a husband, as a father, as someone that's very involved in the community, my job is to pray and obey. All of our job is to pray and obey. God's always speaking. Are we listening? One of the things I share with our Christ Chapel family is that you can't hear God if you're not, you can't hear, Rachel can't hear me calling for her same room. Her calling me if I'm not in the same room. You got to get in the same room. You got to get in the same room with the Holy Spirit. You have to get in the same room with Jesus, and you have to listen. How do you get in the same room? You put all the other distractions aside and say, God, I'm on my face before you. I lay these at your feet. And I say, Jesus, have your way. I lay these worries at your feet, these decisions at your feet, this situation, I lay it at your feet. God, move like only you can move. And he will. He will. Holy Spirit, help me, lead me, guide me. Tell me about my future. The Holy Spirit reminds us of truth always. Many times our emotions will try to lead us. When emotions lead, peace is forfeited. When emotions lead, peace is forfeited. Emotions were never meant to lead us. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Emotions are wonderful servants, but horrible masters. Emotions are wonderful servants, but horrible masters. They cannot control your life. God gave us emotions to feel our way through life, to help us process life, even the heavy times and the wonderful times, so we can process and experience that. Emotions aren't bad, but they are never meant to rule your life. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He leads us. He guides us. Amen? Feelings change based off of what we see, what we hear, how we feel about something. We set ourselves up for a roller coaster ride of highs and lows when our feelings rule and dominate our lives. I've been there before. Emotions can lead you away from God's perfect plan for your life. So be careful. Fix your thoughts. Conflicts, challenges, change can disrupt peace if it's misplaced, if your peace is misplaced. But I want to encourage you today to think about this. Where is your peace? Peace. The past few years have proven so much concerning where truth might lie and where peace can be found. And is your peace found in a certain amount of money? Is your peace found in a certain job promotion? Is your peace found in a 401k or an IRA or retirement benefits? True peace can only be found in the person. And that person is not in the White House. That person's not your spouse. It's not your children. It's not your mom or your dad. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus changes everything. Changes everything. He gives us direction. He touches our hearts and our minds and our souls. Even the places that have wounds in our souls from the past. That might be another message for another day. Peace is not the absence of conflict alone. Look at a graveyard. There's no conflict there, right? I spend some time in some graveyards. One of the things that while I'm there, I do observe. I'm not going to say I'd like to do it. But I like to look at the stones, and when I go see my dad's gravesite, I like looking at the dates. The dates are important. When someone was born and when someone went home. In any graveyard you find, there's young, there's old, there's rich, there's poor. Different cultures, different nationalities. But because there's no activity there, that's not necessarily true peace. When you look at the gravestones, it says rest in peace. Right? True peace is found in the presence of God. Not in the absence of conflict. Conflict comes against you to try to rob you of your peace. That's why you have to deal with the conflict head on. Not reacting, but responding in love, responding with wisdom from heaven. As we get ready to wrap up and close, I'm going to ask the team to come on up. The worship team, if we could. The biblical picture of peace is more like a garden than a graveyard. A garden's a place where good things grow, if you're a good gardener, right? Transparent confession. I've known to kill a few plants in my life. I've known to kill a garden or two. Trying to get better at it. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us every step of the way. Amen. Thank God that our next point is that Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We can take our thoughts to Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I want to share this with you today as we close up. You don't have to have all the answers to experience God's peace. You don't have to have it all figured out to walk in the peace of God. When the Bible describes peace, it talks about how it transcends our understanding and our circumstances. In John chapter 16, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure. To return to God the Father in heaven, he shared this with them. You're going to be scattered. And you guys are going to leave me here all alone. But Jesus shared with them, I won't be all alone because the Father is with me. John 16, 33, I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me, in Jesus. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And that's a promise that we can take to the bank. Jesus is with us always. In closing, it's Job 22, verse 21 out of the Amplified. Acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God. And show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. The greatest way to be at peace is get to know God and be in agreement with what his word says. Because his word is his will. And God doesn't want us stressed out or worrying or upset or anxious or uptight or oppressed or weighed down in life. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we can be happy and joyful in any season. We can be at peace in the challenging seasons. Even though we might not like what's going on. There's been times in my life I've experienced loss and I didn't like those times. I wasn't really happy about those times. But the peace of God was there to help me every step of the way. And there'll always be that supply. And that peace is the strength that keeps us moving forward in our lives. Amen? There's an old song we used to sing. And it says, I will let the peace of God rule in my heart. It quiets my mind from fear and thoughts. When problems arise like storms on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. And that's a wonderful song, a wonderful prayer that we all can experience today. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't know everyone in this room today, and I want to give you an opportunity to receive the greatest peace in your life. The greatest peace is being at peace with God, our Heavenly Father. We're all born of this world sinful, needing a Savior. God sent His Son Jesus to live on this earth. As a man, He died. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was bruised. He took stripes on His back. And He laid down His life. No one took His life. He laid down His life willingly for you and for me. He was our spotless lamb. He did it so we could be right with the Lord, because there's going to come a moment in this life where we're going to breathe our last. And it's our last breath here, but it's our first in eternity. And eternity is forever. And the Bible is really clear that there's two places, heaven and hell. Hell was never created for man. It was never created for you or for me or anyone under the sound of our voice, whether it's in this building or online. The world has painted hell, it's a party, and I'm going to be there with my friends. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not. It's a place of torture and torment. It's a lake of fire, continual suffering. And that's not God's plan for you. But He said you have to believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, is what the Word says, and that He died on the cross, and that on the third day that He rose again. And those who receive and believe Him shall be saved. You know, Rob, I grew up in church. I was in Sunday school. Growing up in church, sitting in a pew, doesn't mean that you're saved. I've been a good person. I believe in being a good person. But being good doesn't get you to heaven. Receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior does. So if you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you want to receive Jesus, whether in the building or online, say, Rob, I want to pray that prayer. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can I see your hand right now? Anyone in the room today? Just slip it up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you do anything publicly. You're going to put your hand up, then put your hand down. We're going to pray a prayer, and I believe that you will receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's all pray this prayer. Church family, can you help us? Say, Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross just for me. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I receive you now. Jesus, help me to live a life that honors and pleases you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we give him a great big hand? Whether in the building or online, thank you so much for being here today. I want to encourage you that if you pray that prayer for the first time, or if you rededicated your life back to Jesus, it's important that you tell somebody. Tell somebody. You have to tell somebody. Why? Because as soon as you leave here, the enemy's going to remind you of something that you did. And he's going to say, nothing happened. That's still the same old you. Don't you believe a word of it. You prayed a prayer. You received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you are saved. We have to be discipled now. There are some changes that we need to make and get around some good people. So I want to encourage you. Room, small group. Get connected with believers. Fellowship times, hangout times. Because just getting in the room with someone else that knows Jesus, that's always a good time. So I want to encourage you to do so. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to bless you with a Bible. And if you don't have a local church, you'd like to say, welcome home. Welcome to church. When you're here, your family. But we love you guys. At this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Basil to come up in a closing prayer. But we love you guys. Thank you, New Life, for allowing Christ Chapel to be with you today and to worship with us. Thank you, Pastor Basil and Kathy. We love you guys and we honor you.
Thank you so much. Why don't we all stand together? We're just going to have a closing prayer together. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful, Lord, to be in your house. So grateful to have our Christ Chapel family with us today. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that as we prepare to leave this place, that God, that you would just go with us. Lord, your presence, Lord, leading and guiding and directing us. Lord, those of us that know you as Savior, I pray that you would use us this coming week as a light in the darkness. Help us to make a difference in somebody's life. Help us, Lord, to speak words of healing and words of encouragement to people that you bring across our path. Wherever we are, wherever we go, Lord, whoever we meet, Lord, we can be Jesus to them. And so, Father, help us. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit that Rob spoke about this morning, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the paraclete. Lord, let him be the one that leads and guides us. Lord, not only to truth, but guides us to people as well that need you, that are seeking something, and they may not even know what they're looking for. But it's you. It's you, Lord. And so, Father, use us to be that guiding light to them, to bring them to the cross. Lord, I pray that whether it's unsaved family or friends or neighbors or co-worker lives, fellow students, Lord, whatever the case may be, help us to make a difference in their lives. Use us, God, for your glory. So, Lord, go with us now, Lord. Bless each and every one, every individual, every couple, every family represented here this morning. And God, use us in a mighty way, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. And we give you praise for all of this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Have a great day, great week. God bless you.